Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Julie Bates with the podcast Training the Pointing Labrador, episode number 302. And in today's episode, I am going to talk about something that stemmed from a question I got from a regular dog person, somebody I encounter in the regular world, not the performance world where most of the people listening to this are. And we got into quite a discussion, and I thought I would like to bring this out because I think it's, if nothing else, let everybody think about some dog training stuff. But one thing this person said, I'm walking down the street, sidewalk, with my little field champion wiener dog. And of course, when we're out there doing something, she's just doing one thing, right? She is just looking for prey. She knows the rules, and she knows that she's got all this stuff with me, but her entire purpose out there, other than moving around and getting outside, is to go find something to kill or to at least chase. And this individual had said she's always so happy. She's always just so purposeful and so, you know, real complimentary. And I was like, well, yeah. But that's not because she's just happy and purposeful. It's because she's a dog on a mission, is really what it is. And so I got to thinking about stuff. And I remember a long time ago, back in the, I'm going to say, 80s, when I was training, just running field trial stuff and just doing that. That's where I started. That's what I thought all the retriever stuff was all about. I didn't know about all the other hunt tests and eventually the pointing labs that I would come to know very well. I was just running field trials. And I had been taught in the family that I grew up in that if you're going to do this, you don't mess around. You go with the very best people you can find, regardless of what it takes to get there. So I was training in, you know, some pretty good, pretty high circles, field champions, a national champion or two. You know, I remember the first time somebody said, here, you can run my field champion. And it was actually Bill Bowen, who also had a national champion, but this is when his field champion and I got to run it on a triple. And oh my gosh, it's like you handed me, you know, the stick for the space shuttle. I understand, you know, when people are new to this, I didn't even know what to do. There was just, it looked so easy. And anyway, it was very daunting. So I started with a great deal of respect for the whole endeavor. But as I was going along and learning, which takes many, many years, and I'm still doing that now, but I would be learning, I'd be training with a big group or something. And there was a certain amount of, particularly, it's a lot better now. I think Mike Lardy kind of made it okay to be humane to our dogs, and it's a little bit more that way. But there were a lot of trainers, it's my way or the highway training, and they would be very, very harsh on the dogs. And by harsh, I mean mean. And yet, and of course, me being me and always speaking my mind, and I grew up in a horse family, in an animal world. So I was not new to that. I'd been training dogs since I was 8 years old. But it just looked very wrong to me. I'd never seen a horse have to have that done to them, even though there are some areas where they do that. And I had never seen a dog that required that, and it did not make sense to me. And so when I got, when I spoke up or said, well, if this is what we're going to do, I'm going to leave, the ridicule that I got and the explaining to me that I'm very naive and that if I really want to play this game and if I'm going to be in this world, I need to understand that this is what you have to do. Now, at the time, I wasn't sure. Maybe they're right. You know, I don't know. I don't feel that and I don't like that, but I didn't know that. Well, and now I do know. It's been a lot of years since then. And no, that is not necessary. You do not have to hurt animals, especially the animals that we have now that are so well-bred and so talented, and most of them pretty intelligent. You don't have to hurt them any more than you have to hurt a kid to raise it correctly. However, there's a lot of circles where if you can't, you know, if you're not the tough guy, if you can't man up, then you're going to be made fun of. And all I can say is, I'd be happy to have somebody come make fun of me on this stuff. So the reason I'm talking about this is, for one, in the competitive retriever world, there are still a lot of very, very harsh things. that can happen. And I think every good trainer in the world should have as their one of their lead philosophies is to do no harm. If you have to do harm to an animal, is this really worth it? Okay, so I want to get that in on the competitive stuff. So when there, and there's, you know, trainers like to call each other, oh no, he's really tough. Oh no, no, he's a really tough trainer. That's like a kind of an insult, like I'm the nice guy. You know, what you really would be able to see is the end of a long, hot summer day when there's no one around and there's five more dogs to do and they have a headache, you know, or they're mad at their partner or whatever it is. That's kind of tell-all, but you don't get to see that too much. That is an important element, that a trainer be one who does no harm. And the reason that I'm talking about this and the guy that was talking about my wiener dog trotting down the deal is the most effective, the most valuable way to train any animal is to have that animal be fully engaged and want to do it with you. That's the best way. Just like most gold medal Olympic athletes aren't there because mom or dad made them. Maybe there's a couple, I don't know. But those guys that are winning and doing everything it takes and more really want that. And I believe that a dog must really want to do the things that you're doing. If you got to drag them out of the vehicle, if you got to drag them out to do stuff, if you're putting them on the force fetch table and they're trying to slink into the closet, we have an animal that does not want to do this. And in not wanting to do it, they aren't going to learn very much or learn it very well, or they're not going to be ready to move on to the next stage. Animals have to want to do what they're doing. The attitude of an animal that you're training is all important. So whenever I talk to people and they want some advice and stuff on dogs, I always say, I listen to what they say and I'll tell them, well, until I see, I can't know. But I'll talk to them, but I always want to see them because when I see the dog, when they, you know, we meet somewhere, we're having a lesson or they're coming to one of our training things and they get their dog out. And the first thing I look at is, what is that dog's attitude? What are they saying about what we're doing? Because that's what we got to deal with. And that tells you the whole story. You know, if they get out and pay no attention to anybody and go, good, I'm out, I think I'll run over here, right? Then they're not really, they don't even know what the learning thing is. Or they hope it's not any of that stuff. Or it can be so many things. Versus a dog that gets out with some expectation, like, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? That's an animal that you can be very, very effective with. So the reason I'm saying all this, and the reason that I'm talking about this is that there's a way that you get this. Now, one of the things I see in the regular city life that I lead these days, I'm out all the time. I was walking again with my little field champion wiener dog. I'll forever get that in there. We're walking down the street going to a big open space thing. And somebody else, a lady with a dog, looked like a really nice dog, big dog, was walking along next to me, coming the opposite direction. And when she got about, we were 25 yards away, and we're walking along. My dog's not going to do anything with her. I'm not worried. I'll scoop her up if it looks like she's going to get attacked. So she got out the bag of treats and constantly told the other dog to leave it. I guess that meant leave. Getting my wiener dog, leave it, and gave her a bacon bit, leave it, give her a bacon bit, until she got well past us, and then she was a good dog, and then they kept walking, and the dog quit eating, and so she's obviously been to some kind of training thing, right? So I'm trying to think, what does that dog think it's doing while they're out there? I don't know. Obviously, you know, most animals are glad to get out of the house or the yard and get moving and get to see stuff and all that kind of deal. But obviously, the dog was very entertained by the sight of a person or another dog or something. And so to overcome that, she had to have something more tempting for the dog. So you have all this talking and stuff, and the dog's just going, oh, food. I know that's what the dog's doing. And meanwhile, mine doesn't give a hoot because we're just looking to see where there's some bushes that there could be a bunny in. So, I'm going to try and tie this all together, but so I'm watching this going, this is really what the majority of dog problems that people have. I don't care whether you're a performance person or a walk around the block person. The majority of problems that everyone has with their dogs, assuming the dog, one, is healthy, and two, is mentally stable and doesn't have, you know, some of the conditions that dogs have where they struggle with their mind working the way it has to. Most of the problems people have is because their dogs do not have a real intent. If they are never allowed to develop this intent and enjoyment of purpose, then they create them. And they might create them by barking. They might create them by running the fence. They might create them by, you know, pulling poor people all over the place on their leashes. I've seen people turned 360 degrees as their dog is just running around and they're hanging on for dear life. You know, that's what the dog is doing now. It's getting a lot of exercise by pretending it's at the end of a bungee cord and just making the most of the time when it's out. There's no sense of purpose in there. You know, that's just a dog that's kind of maniacally thinking and maniacally moving. And it won't get better. And it won't get better by more walks. That's like having an ADHD dog and letting them just run wild in the backyard. Yeah, they'll just get more that way because you're enhancing the kind of behavior and the kind of thinking that you don't want to have. And for those of us who train performance dogs, and I'm going to call hunt tests, hunting, field trials, all of that, that is performance, right? They got to run blinds and they got to do triples and they got to be steady and all the things they've got to do. So you can do that one by forcing them to do it. Well, this dog has a good pedigree, so I will make them do that. And so the dog, and you know, if you've been around much, you see those. You see them when they come out. You know, they come out and they're very concerned about keeping somebody happy instead of very concerned, very excited and energized about what it is they're going to be doing. So both of those are very similar in terms of the dog having intent and purpose and enjoying it and wanting to participate in it. And so I think it's people not understanding dogs a little bit, even if there's some really good trainers, you know, not the treat trainers, I'm sorry. That's just a hard one for me. But trainers of like what we do, the hunt tests and the competitive stuff, there's some very, very good trainers who make the dog do things. I had a trainer I learned, a field trial person who's not competing anymore, that I learned a lot of things from, who said, I could force fetch any dog in the world. And I've mentioned that before in here, and I thought, oh, wow, I bet you can. And, you know, but I don't know, what's the purpose of that? If you're going to force fetch a dog and make them where they are going to do what you say no matter what, because obviously they're afraid of what happens if they don't, and we expect that dog to give us its all in the last series on the most difficult of things, you know, if it's kind of resentful or kind of doesn't like stuff, you're probably not going to get the kind of performances you want. So now here's the hard part. If you're not that kind of person, then you're not going to be able to transfer that to the dog. If you aren't a person that, one, loves to have a real sense of what we're all about and a real sense of, I want to get a little better than I am right now. I have seen so many retriever trainer people, amateurs and pros, but just they're doing it because, well, this is what I do. And this is my sixth dog or whatever dog, you know, this is what I do. And that's what, but they're the same this year as they were last year, as they were the year before, because they're not on any kind of mission, any kind of purpose to, you know, I'm going to get a little bit better. I'm going to see if I can't master this a little bit more than I am. So when a person isn't that way, then that is not passed on to any students of theirs. They're not going to pass on this pleasure in a little bit more mastery. And if you don't have that, then the dog doesn't ever get to feel a little bit more pleasure in a little more mastery, because they do. I have talked about that for years. When dogs understand what's expected, you take a really well-trained, I got the Pointing Lab Associate thing here. Let's just take a Triple Crown level Pointing Lab, right? That means they do everything really well. Right? When that dog stands up there and sees three marks go down, they are really excited about it. They are very, very, but they're not like going, oh, I'm so happy I'm doing this. They just are. And they are completely focused on what they're going to do. And trained well, they know exactly what your expectations are, which one they get first, which one they get second, which one they get third. And then when you turn around and run some real challenging blinds, they go, hey, I know what I'm doing. All right, let me go, man. Give me pointed the right way. Let's go. And they'll run hard and they'll run, you know, with a great deal of passion. Now, well, are they going to make mistakes? Are they going to? Of course, because we're all human. But their heart is in that. And when their heart is in that, you have success far, far more likely than when it's not. But if you're going out there and punishing them for everything they do wrong, which frankly is the fundamentals of a lot of training programs. You know, that's the question I hate getting. How do you correct this? I always say, I don't know. Tell me how you created it, and then we'll go about doing this. Of course, people don't like that. But these dogs have to, if they're going to go out and just be corrected all the time, one, I'll say you don't have a very good teacher if you're always doing so many wrong things. And two, really, is that supposed to motivate them? You just basically just sort of crunch them down when you do that all the time versus going at it, seeing what their attitude is. Now, I didn't say they're supposed to be all happy and goofbally and not paying attention. No, not, I never say that. But just like with kids, you can be very serious about kids and raise them and yet have them, when they find the things that make their heart beat fast, you know, open that door wide for them and let them go. And it's the same thing with dogs. You know, find out where their interests lie, which is obviously very ancestral and genetic based, and then turn it into a teaching program and give them that intent and purpose. You guys, those of you, and I know there's a lot of you listening to this, who have that dog, when you open the crate or box, whatever they're getting into, you know, I hope you have a command for them to wait so they don't knock you backwards. But you want them going, let me go. Because even if it's just to go work, just go train. We're going to go out and run 5 blinds today. Yes, let's go. That's the kind of dog you're going to have a lot of success with. If you have one, too, that just fundamentally doesn't have the interest, you can kick them around all you want. It's not going to generate any interest. But if you do have one with the interest, then you maintain that real positive attitude. But that can only come from you. Praise is not a positive attitude giver. Because you say, good dog, especially if you say it 50 times, does not, it's noise. If you see them make a great deal of effort on something you've been teaching them, and you let them know you see that, if it's good dog or whatever you do, that means everything. But empty words are empty words. Praise is not a phrase you gave. Praise is acknowledgement of something that's real. So in training, that's important. And overdone. Dogs don't overdo stuff. Well, some do. But when they give you a lot of effort and you acknowledge that, don't continue to acknowledge it. Just acknowledge that. Let them know you saw that and you were so happy about that. They will give you more and more and more of that. So that's a real important part of this. Do not make it boring. And do not just go through the motions. So if we were teaching you something, you were terribly excited, you want to become the neighborhood pickleball champion, right? But you have no clue how to play pickleball. Someday I want to learn how to do that. I really do. But anyway, you want to be that person, right? And so you go out and you learn and you learn and you start getting better. And if you have somebody teaching you and go, okay, let's do what we did yesterday. And you come the next day going, let's do what we did yesterday. You're going to be, no, can I learn now how to do the backhand of it or whatever? I need, you know, how do I do this? How do I move across the court? Whatever. You want to learn that stuff. And that makes you excited to come the next time. But if you know you're just going to go through the motions for a while because the teacher's got their mind on something else, you're going to lose that intensity that you have, that intent, that enjoyment of that. So just like you learning something that you're excited about, your dog needs to not be bored, not go through the motions. I had somebody ask me today, I always do this drill. What do you think of it? And I went, it doesn't matter what I think of it. Don't keep doing it. I mean, even if you have some drill that you like, make it increasingly more challenging. Put a lot more elements to it. Make it not the same. Because the same is not good for anybody. Once you learn something, okay, what's next? Go ahead and practice what you're good at and add some new stuff, some more elements to it. Keep the dog's attitude up. Instead of having to correct them, instead of that, correction meant they were not taught well enough. Go take it up with the teacher. Go back to some reteaching. Find out what you can do to teach something differently so that we're not having to correct. Dogs that get corrected all the time are just like you and I if we got corrected every time. You know, and there's maybe some people say, that's what does best for me. Okay, good. You know, I don't tell me when I'm doing something wrong and then get out of my way and let me do it right. I'm not going to live here. I was raised that way. I was raised where you were always told everything you did was wrong. And I remember thinking as a kid going, this is not right. There's a whole lot of stuff I do that's really good. And yet where I always have to hear about where I'm not any good. That's not how I want to look at myself. And that's not how I want to feel. And I know that on some level, it's that way with animals too. They don't always want to see what they're doing wrong. Let's build some confidence, get some success, and then go reteach the stuff where things aren't good and get going. And when you have dogs, or anything for that matter, but when you have something that is engaged in its existence that way, and I don't care whether it's a performance dog like a lot of you have, or if it's like, well, mine's kind of a performance dog. She goes and runs field trials, but she's really more of a city dog now, and she walks the streets and the trails and the open space and all that stuff. When we do it, 100% of the time, we're on a mission. She doesn't care if there's other dogs around because that's not part of the mission. And so I don't have behavioral problems. I don't have to have treats. I don't have to tell her to leave it because she doesn't want it to begin with. And I couldn't tell her to leave a bunny. Be like, you know, our dog's not wanting to go get a bird. That just isn't going to happen. But they can do this stuff under some control. But the bottom line is, on all the dogs I'm talking about, the well-trained ones that love what they're doing at the Master National level or the National Open level, the dogs that love that, they have to have that attitude that this is what I'm all about and this is why I'm here. And dogs that live in the city, I still feel it can't be like, I'm going to get you out on the street because I'm supposed to and because you're so interested in other things because I've never given you anything to be more interested in, then I'll just give you food whenever something comes up. A complete cop-out. But I guess people don't want to learn stuff the way that I look at dogs. I guess they don't, so the treat thing probably is fine because then they can put out minimum effort and have their little bag of bacon bits and be good. But the behavioral problems, the separation anxiety, I got the air quote thing on that. I saw an article somewhere the other day. I'm like, do you know why your dog sits down and faces away from you? And there was like a big psychological thing on that. Like every dog does that for exactly the same reason, right? I mean, that's just, do you know why your dog, when they lick their paws, it means something. And, you know, I was thinking about a lot of things where, anyway. So they give people these little psychological things and never engage with what the issue is. And that, does your dog have any feeling about why it's on the earth? Is it just trying to entertain itself? You know, or in the case of the dogs being trained a lot, or is it just trying to stay out of trouble? Just hoping that it's a good day? So attitude about a dog, when you see the dog, it tells you everything. You know, if their attitude is obnoxious, then, all right, need to change that attitude, because the dog does not rule the world, and there's a lot of that. And if the dog is afraid or concerned or has no confidence, that needs to be changed. I don't care if it's just a pet or whether it's a performance dog. They need to believe in this. They need to really like it. And they need to be taught that we're all about challenge. We're all about when you get something, yeah, I'll let you build up some confidence, and then we're going to get some more to it and make it interesting. And it becomes the meaning and the purpose in their life. So that then, you know, when you train them all the time, but you got to leave them home all day Sunday because you got all this stuff going on, they're fine. They're fine being home. They're just fine. My little wiener dog, sometimes I have to leave her all day. She's fine. As soon as I get home, though, it's like, are we going out? And it isn't because we want to go out. It's like, do you know how many bunnies have gone by that I've had nothing to do with? Let's go. And so that's why I've been very lucky with her. You know, she's just not a problem. Doesn't have health problems. As long as I hold on to the leash and don't let her go somewhere and get a bunny she shouldn't be getting. We go out in the country for that. She's great. And this is a little tiny miniature dachshund, right? I mean, come on. All these other dogs can be extremely happy and can be extremely intent-driven and purpose-driven and have some meaning to their life so that you guys are a team going in the same direction. And the do-no-harm thing, I'm going to say that. If you don't have to hurt an animal, you don't have to hurt a human to make a point or to teach something. That's not teaching. That's hurting. And it just, nor let's go swing to the other side of that scale, nor do you have to give them food to require good behavior. That's just so disrespectful to the dogs. I guess it's what the people can do and can manage, I suppose, because they don't want to work through setting up a good relationship with their dog. But do no harm, do not hurt them. No place for that. And nor is there any place for, if you do it, I'll give you this, you know, biscuit. That's just, I will never get over that as long as I live. Every time I see it, I just want to go, oh, can I talk to you? But I don't do it because they'll just think I'm a wacky, crazy person. And maybe I am. So dog problems all stem from, remember, they have to love this. You want an Olympic gold medalist? Even if you don't even care if you go to the national or you get a title, even if you just want a really nice hunting dog, why not have a gold medal level hunting dog? Who doesn't want that? So make this be both of you trying to be the very, very best you can in a way that you really, really, you guys are just loving this stuff. It's so rewarding. And those of you that have done it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What a great feeling. You know, you go run your first master test, you know, and you're scared to death and your dog does it. And you're like, yes, we could do this. We could do it. And then keep trying to get better. Pass that on to your dog. This isn't about being a tough guy or manning up or being macho. That is long fallen by the wayside. It is about understanding your student, taking all the responsibility for what they're doing, including their attitude, assuming your dog has the desire and ability to do what you're asking it, then there you need to do things to change their attitude, just like you would be. If you're trying to learn something and your teacher just keeps telling you what you're doing wrong, pretty soon you don't want to keep learning it anymore. So be aware of that. Sometimes there aren't answers. You know, well, my dog's doing this and that, and I don't know what to do. Hey, get on the internet, get 57 answers. Or sit down and just work through it from fundamentals. If you really want to learn how to keep what this is all about in this relationship and dog attitude, sit down and do super simple stuff like healing and sitting. Look at what you're doing. Are you just enforcing stuff on the dog all the time, never giving them a chance to execute? Are you just doing the same thing over and over again and kind of boring them to death? Do you only correct them and never acknowledge good effort? Get down to that level where you think about stuff, and it might help you understand your dog and get your dog to be more of the gold medal dog that you're looking for instead of it's just stuff you're doing today. So that's the one for today. We had like a foot of snow this last weekend, so you should have seen my little winter dog. She'd be on the snow, it'd be really hard, and then just fall right through. It wasn't funny, because I'll tell you, while she's doing that, she's still hunting bunnies. So we had to just sometimes swim through it and get out of it, so we had to go under places where she knows they are. It's always a hoot. It's always fun, because she is very much into it. Only kind of dog in the world I'd ever want to have. So that's this week's. So I'll be back next week. We got just another couple months, maybe if that, before the tests start. So serious training needs to be get going. The Rocky Mountain Pointing Lab Club is training every week. Probably one of the best training groups there is. Anybody that's interested in our area, look them up on our website. We have some really good things going there. Some great dogs and some great people. So until next week, I wish everybody warmth. Stay warm, stay happy, stay healthy, and we will be back in a week.